Thanks, Ruth, for the introduction, and thank you all for coming today. I'm going to be speaking about some research that's part of my dissertation project, and I'll give you a little bit of background first. Like Pam was just saying, nitrogen deposition is elevated in many portions of the U.S. and other countries compared to what background levels are estimated to be. And this elevated nitrogen deposition has been shown to alter aspects of soil microbial community and ecosystem function. And along with that, we see some sort of indirect evidence that microbial communities and some microbial processes may be more limited by phosphorus in these nitrogen-enriched systems than nitrogen, but not a lot of direct evidence to support that notion. So that last point there is sort of the impetus for this study that I'll be talking about today. So the research questions I'll be talking about today focus on soil extracellular enzymes, and these enzymes are critical agents of litter decomposition and humification processes. So my first question is, what is the effect of that long-term extant nitrogen enrichment on soil enzyme activity? And some research has been done in this realm, but not at the site that I'll be talking about. And then the second question is, what's the response of these enzymes to experimental additions of nitrogen and phosphorus? What's the relationship between enzyme activity and nitrogen and phosphorus availability? So I'll tell you a little bit about the study site that I work at with, which some of you may be familiar with. It's the Berwick watershed in Maine, and the left watershed is the treated watershed, and it's been receiving additions of ammonium sulfate for 20 years, bimonthly additions, and nitrogen deposition comes to a total of about 36 kilograms per hectare per year to that watershed. The adjacent watershed is referred to as the East Bear watershed. That's the biogeochemical reference. It receives ambient deposition, which is estimated to be about 8 kilograms per hectare per year. Now, softwoods dominate in the upper elevations and hardwoods in the lower elevations. So we split this up into four different compartments. And I'll use these abbreviations in my slides to show you the response in each of those compartments, because biogeochemistry is a little bit different in those compartments. So what I did for sampling, I established five plots in each of those compartments, and I sampled the O and B horizon, and I sieved those samples. So then to those samples, I did a sort of secondary nutrient addition experiment to both samples from the treated and the reference watershed. So I had four different treatments to basically assess the effect of nitrogen and phosphorus availability on enzyme activity. So I had a phosphorus treatment, a nitrogen treatment, a combination treatment of the two, and a control. So what I did was I fertilized those soils, put them in bags, and reburied them in their respective horizons. And I did that with both O and B horizons. And today I'll only be talking about the results from the O horizons, because there's a lot of data there. I incubated these samples for 1 month at three separate months between July and October of last year. And then after that incubation, I did an assay to measure enzyme activity. So the enzymes that I measured, I'm going to talk about three of them today. The first is beta-glucosidase, which gets at carbon and cellulose compounds. The next is N-acetylglucosaminidase, which I'll call NAG from now on, and that gets at nitrogen and chitin-derived compounds. And the third is acid phosphatase, which gets at phosphorus in a variety of organic compounds. And there's a couple things to note here. Those first two are a little bit more sensitive to decomposition rates and increase with decomposition. And acid phosphatase, the last one, is a little bit more sensitive to soil nutrient availability, particularly phosphorus. So a little bit difference in their dynamics there. And then the second thing to note is that activities in general of all these three enzymes tend to be higher in hardwoods compared to softwoods because decomposition rates are higher, microbial activity, biomass are higher. So I use sort of standard fluorometric methods to measure enzyme activities. You put soil slurries into these 96 well plates. The plates are actually black bottomed when you do the fluorescence measurements, but this allows you to see what the soil slurries look like. So I'm going to go into the first of my results slides here. And this graph might be a little bit different than what you're used to looking at, but enzyme activity in micromole per gram of organic matter per hour is on each axis, but there are separate axes for each of those treatments that I was talking about. And each of those compartments that I mentioned before are in a different color. So it allows you to sort of track the changes in activity due to the treatment. So the first thing that I'll point out here is that if you look at the control samples there doesn't seem to be much difference in the reference watershed samples and the treated watershed samples. So there doesn't seem to be a significant effect of that whole watershed treatment on beta-glucosidase activity. And this is all beta-glucosidase. But then if you look up at the phosphorus and nitrogen treatment, you see the beta-glucosidase activity was stimulated in the hardwoods of both the treated and the reference watersheds. So that really suggests a co-limitation of beta-glucosidase activity in those hardwoods in both the treated and the reference watershed. I'm going to go on to the next enzyme here, which is NAG, and the plot is going to look really similar, except the scale is a little bit different to reflect difference in activity in NAG. And the first thing you'll note here is that you look at the control axis, NAG activity is a lot higher in West Bear hardwoods compared to East Bear hardwoods. So it looks like that watershed level nitrogen treatment has stimulated NAG activity, which makes sense because the nitrogen addition has increased decomposition rates in general and stimulated NAG activity. But NAG activity seems to be particularly sensitive to that watershed level nitrogen treatment in the hardwoods. So the next thing you'll note here is if you look at the phosphorus addition, the phosphorus treatment stimulated NAG activity in the East Bear softwoods. So that really suggests that there's P limitation in that reference watershed in the softwoods. So not in the treated watershed that receives nitrogen, but in the reference watershed. And the last enzyme that I'll be showing today is acid phosphatase. This will tell us a little bit more about phosphorus limitation. And the first thing to note here is if you look at the control axis again, you see that phosphatase activity also looks like it's been affected by the whole watershed manipulation, but it's actually lower in the treated watershed. So phosphatase activity is higher in the reference watershed. And there could be other factors that affect this, like microbial biomass, but in general, we see more phosphorus limitation or signs of phosphorus limitation in that reference watershed. Now, the next thing to note here is that the pea additions seem to decrease phosphatase activity, which isn't particularly surprising, but is encouraging because it suggests that phosphatase is a sensitive indicator of soil nutrient availability. So you add more phosphorus, you do decrease phosphatase activity, which is encouraging as using that enzyme as an indicator of soil nutrient availability. So what are some conclusions from this study? Well, the first one I'd like to point out is that we really see no signs of nitrogen limitation on microbial enzyme production and aspects of microbial processes. So we don't see N limitation in that treated watershed or the reference watershed. And really, if we do see signs of nutrient limitations, it's with phosphorus or co-limitation of nitrogen and phosphorus. The second thing that I want to point out, which I didn't quite mention before, is that that whole watershed treatment really appears to have this sort of transient effect on phosphorus availability, where phosphorus availability in that treated watershed that has received nitrogen, elevated nitrogen inputs for 20 years seems to have increased soil phosphorus availability temporarily, and that could delay any signs of phosphorus limitation, at least temporarily. And then the last thing that I want to point out is that enzyme activity in ecosystems with relatively low nitrogen deposition rates, such as our reference watershed that only receives ambient levels, show signs of phosphorus or phosphorus limitation or co-limitation by phosphorus and nitrogen. So they might be more phosphorus limited than previously thought. And with that, I'd like to conclude and acknowledge my home department and some other people that were instrumental in helping with this research. And I'll take any questions.